One flock. This morning's Bible reading, Jesus points out that his desire is that there will be one flock and one shepherd. Do you remember that part? There will be one flock and one shepherd, right? I'm convinced that Jesus gets what he wants. And I'm convinced that Jesus desires that there's going to be one flock and one shepherd. And I'm also convinced that it doesn't have anything to do with folks deciding to agree about everything. Raise your hand if you agree with everything that ever happens in the church. Oh, Max. I'm also convinced that it means that Jesus wants everyone to be included in the reality of God's love. And Jesus gets what he wants. One flock. It includes everyone. It includes folks you think are obviously included. Think about them right now. Oh, yes, of course, I know. It includes folks you aren't so sure are included. Them? It includes folks you are positive are not included. One flock. You see, God loves the whole world, and God wants there to be one flock. Today, we have two confirmands joining the church, affirming vows taken on their behalf at baptism. Now, one of you was baptized when you were an infant, and the other when you were 5 years old. But both of you were not really in the huge know about what was going on at that time. It was your families, it was your parents saying that we want to do this now, and then later we want you to be able to affirm those vows at confirmation. You know, you wrote confirmation essays expressing what joining the church means to you, what being a part of the confirmation class has meant, and what your faith journey has been like thus far. So I want you to hear some of the thoughts. And I'm not going to tell you who wrote them. You can ask them later. But if you watch their faces, when I say something, they'll be like, we'll see what they do. Try to use your poker faces during this part, or not, whatever you want to do. Okay, here we go. I love this church. I love everything about it. Our confirmation class gives us a lot of space to discuss and question the things that are confusing. Ever since I was little, I wondered, why do I have to go here? My favorite Bible story still is the one where Jesus was about 12 and had gone to the temple with his parents. Then they left without him. He had stayed back to listen and to debate with the rabbis. When his parents came back, they found him preaching to the people there. I like that story because he was 12, and all of those people listened to him speak the word of God. The church will always be a haven for me. I know I can come here free of persecution of gender, race, or religious beliefs. Before we had the open and affirming discussion, I used to fear, what if one of my friends in the church has a different sexuality than I do? But after the church decided to be open and affirming, I don't have to fear. In confirmation class, I really started paying attention to and thinking about what the Bible stories actually meant. I haven't gotten all of them, but with quite a few of them, I've had an, oh, so that's what it meant, moment. You can't say, from the mouths of babes. This is from the mouths of students who have studied, students who have considered and pondered, been in class. And not all the beliefs, even among these two, are the same. And you know, in the United Church of Christ, that here at St. Paul's United Church of Christ, we don't have a litmus test that says, unless you believe this way, you cannot belong. There isn't a litmus test. It's one flock. In the pews here today, in the full pews, and by the way, I expect that attendance will be the same every Sunday from here forward. Right? Okay. In the pews here today, we have different beliefs about a whole lot of things. And we are all enfolded in God's love, one flock. Today, we're beginning this journey together. New pastor here at St. Paul's. I hope we're looking forward to something wonderful. But now, no matter what your feelings are as we begin, we are all together, one flock. Peter and Paul. You've heard of them, right? Peter and Paul, at the beginning of things, after Jesus died, after rose again, they had such arguments that they had to break up. I mean, they went their separate ways. Peter was, in the beginning, Peter was kind of the rock star of everything. Peter, the rock, rocky. And then afterwards, the New Testament goes on, and Paul's the one that we see all the time. They had such fights. They said, forget it. I'm going this way. You're going that way. And they, Peter and Paul, and all who stayed with them, are enfolded in God's love, one flock. And we have this good shepherd. We have a good shepherd who is passionate, devoted, really dedicated to the well-being of the whole flock. The whole flock, not just we here in the pews, not just our two confirmands today, not just our partners in ministry in the community, not just our denomination, not just all of Christ's church, not just people in this country, not just people we agree with, not just people who believe exactly as we do, not just the ones we like, not just any description that you can use to somehow make the ones whom the good shepherd loves into anything exclusive at all. The good shepherd, Jesus, loves all. The other part of the Bible reading, or another part of it today, here it says, and they will listen to my voice. The children's sermon talked about the voice, right? The sheep listen to Jesus' voice. Sheep, what do you know about sheep?
They're tasty.
They're tasty, okay, good. What do you know about sheep when they're alive? You ever seen that video on YouTube that has the sheep going through a small area and then one jumps and hits its head on the wall? And it's usually used as an example of how sheep are not at all smart. But you know what? Sheep are really actually quite smart. You saw it, Babe, right? I mean, they talk. Now, all in all, do you know what the movie Babe is? No, probably. Okay, I'm going to get an idea of how many people saw Babe. What is it? 50? Okay, we got Babe. Now, how many have never heard of the movie at all, Babe? Yeah. Really? It's a movie that's on video. You can get it. There's a talking pig and talking sheep in it. And a talking rat, I think, too. I'm not sure. But and then a man who hardly ever talks. But these sheep, the sheep in the movie are pretty intelligent. But all in all, the intelligence level of sheep is not bad. Yes, I love that terrible joke. I say it occasionally. Sheep tend to stay close with other sheep. And if they get separated, they become quite agitated and uncomfortable. They know that when they are together as a flock, they are more protected from predators. They just get that. The sheep actually know how to choose the right kind of food that will give them the best nourishment based on the season and their dietary needs. So if you put the wrong kind of food in front of them, they will try to find the right kind of food. Sheep recognize faces, at least sheep faces, and human faces to some extent. They recognize sounds and can even recognize the voice of the shepherd who tends the flock that they are a part of. They hear that voice and they know it. Sheep can recognize the voice of the shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, a shepherd that cares deeply for the flock and does not desert them when there is trouble. So we've got Jesus. We can think. We agree on things. We disagree on things. We make mistakes. We do things that make the world a better place. We do things that make the world a little worse. We are all a part of a vast flock, unconditionally and undeniably enfolded into God's love. So let's live out that love. When we have a chance, to be angry with one another, and I know that happens, but let's give each other a break. Ever heard this? I try to get Cassie to understand that, and sometimes I fail miserably, but here's good advice that sometimes works. If you're in a relationship with someone or if you're in a group of people and someone says something that could be taken two ways and one way is really positive and one way is really nasty, take the positive way. It's like giving each other a break. So let's give each other a break. Let's live knowing that every person is worthwhile. If every person is precious to God, let's love God and love everyone. And let's follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Amen.